NOAA Fisheries Chief Chris Oliver told a room full of fishermen, seafood marketing executives, and marine scientists in Juneau that wild seafood harvests alone can't keep up with rising global demand. But there's another way.
Aquaculture is going to be where the major increases in seafood production occur, whether it happens in foreign countries or in United States waters.
Aquaculture is a broad term. It's farming in the sea. That could be shellfish like oysters or seaweed, which Alaska permits. But it also includes fish farms, which Alaska does not. The nation's federal waters are vast. They begin 3 miles offshore and extend 200 nautical miles. There isn't any aquaculture in federal waters, yet. But U.S. Assistant Secretary of Commerce Timothy Gallaudet said during a Juneau visit that streamlining regulations could help change that.
As we look toward the ocean to continue to support human society, aquaculture is going to be a growing factor.
There's a bill pending in the U.S. Senate that could decide how federal aquaculture is regulated. It's being backed by an industry group called Stronger America Through Seafood. Campaign manager Margaret Henderson said Alaska's ability to ban offshore fish farms remains a sticking point on Capitol Hill.
We in no way mean to impede a state's authority to manage their own waters, but when it comes to managing federal waters outside of state lines, we think that there's a balance to be had there, that there's room for both.
The state is well aware that its ban on offshore fin fish farming is at stake. Sam Raybung heads the Alaska Department of Fish and Game's Aquaculture Division.
I think it's safe to say that we're going to fight pretty hard to maintain that state's opt-out option and maintain the ability to prohibit finfish farming off of Alaska.
There are two main arguments against finfish farming. One is environmental. Farmed fish can escape, like what happened last year in Washington State, when hundreds of thousands of Atlantic salmon broke free from their pen and traveled miles up rivers in the Pacific Northwest. But the other argument is basic economics.
If you increase supply prior to increasing demand or without the effort to increase demand, your prices drop.
Julie Decker heads the Alaska Fisheries Development Foundation. She recalled how in the 1980s, Alaska was the largest salmon producer. That changed when cheap farm salmon entered the market.
The end of the salmon story at this stage is that, you know, there's millions more people eating salmon than they were, you know, back in 1980, but it was a very painful adjustment period.
Federal commerce officials heard about that from Werner Wilson III. He grew up on Bristol Bay, but now works for Friends of the Earth in Seattle.
The flooding of farmed salmon in the 1990s created so much hurt and pain for my family and Alaska salmon fishermen throughout the state, from Bristol Bay right here to Juneau.
Gallaudet said offshore fish farms wouldn't be imposed on Alaska. In his pitch for aquaculture, he alluded to the elephant in the room, climate change.
Some of the changes in the environment are affecting fish stocks. They're either moving or they're not thriving, some. And so this aquaculture, and done the right way, so scientifically based, provides a means for employment of fishermen who are losing some of their gain through these changing conditions.
U.S. Senator Lisa Murkowski's office says she hasn't taken a position on the aquaculture bill. U.S. Senator Dan Sullivan's office said he supports Alaska's right to opt out, and he wouldn't support anything that, quote, negatively impacts Alaska's robust seafood industry. In Juneau, I'm Jacob Resnick.